text alerts. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Let's rewind to 1988.
Well, unanimous decision for Roy Jones, the 19-year-old from Pensacola, Florida.
Pensacola's Roy Jones was the youngest member of the U.S. Olympic boxing team at the 88 Olympic Games in Seoul, South Korea. His first four fights en route to the final weren't close. Jones didn't lose a round. He went on to fight for the gold medal against South Korea's Park Si-hun. It was a decisive victory for Jones on the scorecard, landing 86 punches to Park's 32. The judges saw it different, awarding Park Si-hun the gold medal. Even then, Jones told our Dan Shugart that Park knew who the real winner was.
Korean boxer lifted your hand up on the stand, and then I understand he was talking to you after the fight. What all did he say to you?
Well, he told me that he was sorry that he lost the fight but got the decision.
Every other sport, you score enough points, you win the game. You cross the line first, you win the race. Boxing, you don't know what the hell might happen. So I was like, you know what? I don't know if I want to keep on boxing.
This is such a wild story. Tanner Stewart yesterday for Channel 3 doing a story about Roy Jones Jr., how in 1988 he lost, but he didn't lose, right? I mean, or you say he won, but he didn't win, whichever way you want to look at it. And how Park Si-hun, the Korean boxer who was given the gold medal, turns up, like he never boxes again, and then he turns up in Pensacola and all these years later and says, here you go, man.
Despite being a gold medal champion, it was Park Si-hun who retired from boxing after the Olympics. He never stepped in the ring for an organized fight again. The decision cast a shadow over the entire Olympic Games that year. Since then, evidence emerged over major corruption in the decision. 35 years later, Roy Jones got a phone call.
2 years ago, I got a call that somebody wanted to see me in my gym. They didn't want to do an interview. I said, okay, I walk out here. And lo and behold, it's Park Si-hun standing in my ring.
Wow.
All by himself?
Yeah. So I got in the ring to shake his hand, and he gave me the gold medal back. I was like, oh, gosh.
Park Si-hun made a surprise visit to Jones Farm in Escambia County to personally gift him the gold medal.
He knows that it didn't belong to him. And he couldn't sleep at night with it not belonging to him and him having it. So for years, he's wanted to give it back. And for years, I wanted to get it back.
Yeah, I mean, obviously. And then, so what you naturally wonder is, okay, 2 years ago, right? Well, it's 2023, now it's 2025. Why would you remedy this long-standing injustice and you don't tell anybody about it?
For more than 2 years, the pair kept it a secret. Jones revealed that Park will undoubtedly face backlash from his home country when the news breaks. He says Park's ready to make right.
Sometimes when you do things like that, it's against what they had planned to do. They will take you out for that. So I didn't want to jeopardize his life. That's why I didn't even announce it when he brought it to me, because I didn't want nothing bad to happen to him. He didn't do it. The judges did it. But he suffered just like I suffered. We both suffered because of what they did, the injustice that other people did to the sport of boxing.
Thank God Roy Jones Jr. Kept on boxing. Park Si-hun ended his career. The guilt he must have felt over all this time. The guilt over not fixing it over all this time. And then, you know, finally does it. And then they keep it secret for 2 years. Because understandably, you know, I figure this is probably not going to go well for him in his home country. But I love this comment. This is my favorite comment from Roy Jones Jr. last night on Channel 3.
People in the world were like that. We have a much better world today. You understand me? If people could not sleep because of them doing wrong or doing bad or doing something that was completely wrong to another person, we have a much better world.
Yeah. And, you know, what's kind of funny about all this is if he'd have said something right at the moment, you know, who knows how it would have gone. Okay. Maybe he could have just said no to having the medal, whatever. And apparently the silver medal is still going to go. He's still got to give it to him because obviously he didn't know that was going to happen when he showed up. But, you know, it becomes harder and harder to fix the longer it goes. Right. It's also you have the bad angel, you know, the bad demon, whatever, on your shoulder talking you into not doing anything, which, you know, for a long time. I mean, it's been, what, 37 years? It's a long time, you know, to sit with an injustice.
Message to the community is the same today as it was then, except this time with a new shine.
Pensacola in the house. Hey, y'all, after all these years, it found its way back home. So we're good to go now.
I love it. Again, great, great report by Tanner yesterday, and outstanding news to hear and a wild story. And, you know, in the grand scheme of injustices, you might not think it's, you know, all that important compared to all the things in the world. But I always think about how these Olympic athletes, now some of them have the opportunity to go pro and make money, right? Like obviously Jones Jr. did. But, you know, the fact that the champ overcame this does not make the thing he overcame okay. And Olympic athletes put in, I mean, their entire lives training for these things, which usually don't reward you financially all that well. You know, you might get lucky. You might be into a sport where you're going to get a professional contract. You might get endorsements. You know, I mean, but a lot of times, no. And especially if you don't win, you know, the guy who gets sixth in the Olympics put in every bit as much of his life as the guy who wins gold. And all they get from it is the knowledge that they tried, right? It's, you know, personal pride and investment. They get no reward whatsoever. So anyway, it's just a great story, and love to see it happen. 660, and it all based on the premise that it's worth doing. Well, it's not worth doing if there's no reasonable belief that it's going to be a fair process, that you can win and lose, or that you can win and actually win. PJ's got traffic on the fives.
There is a traffic light out, Pine Forest at Mobile Highway. Remember, that's a four-way stop until they get that fixed. Also, a vehicle crash in Navarre Parkway at Rosewood. They're saying the roadway is clear. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
If you have a business, you probably got into business because you like doing something. You know, you're an architect. You like designing homes and buildings. You're a doctor, you know, and you like serving, you know, patients and making them be healthy. Or you like fixing cars, and so you open a shop. Okay, well, as things grow, you get employees. As you get employees, you have to deal with health insurance and dental and vision and life and disability and human resource management and payroll and all the stuff that nobody gets into business to do. But you still have to do it, right? That's the red tapey part of running a business. And it's important because, you know, taking care of your people, right? So that they're happy and they take care of your business. Well, if you don't love doing that stuff and you kind of wonder if there's a better way to do it, or you just want some help, or you just maybe, I don't know, you're growing and you want some help, Torgerson Consulting, they can take care of that for you. For more than 20 years, I've been helping local businesses just like yours grow and maintain and improve. And I know for us, we've been using them for about 4.5 years, and they've been great. You know, we get our health care benefits from them, and they're always responsive whenever we have questions. They give us plans every year that are the best available. I know that. You know, I know the marketplace is terrible. Health insurance is a horrible, terrible thing right now, but they give us the best ones available, and I appreciate that. And they're, like I said, great with customer service. 433-9996 for Torgerson Causey, or check them out. Sorry, Torgerson Consulting. They recently changed their name. Torgerson Consulting, they recently changed it to tcbenefitsgroup.com.
Here's a tale of Becky. Didn't know what to do with new meds prescribed and no real cost clue.
She squinted at prices. That can't be right. Then tapped good RX and saw the light.
She could get a deal. Book telehealth if she feel.
Learn about those meds without any stress. That one little app does all the rest. Even my horse downloaded it. Dang, save time and money on prescriptions.
Check GoodRx. GoodRx is not insurance.
Okay, let's talk about renovation and how it's not like your ordinary happy ending home makeover show. Example, there are the guys who prey on homeowners and never show up to do the work. So that's why the state of Florida licenses contractors. You can check if your contractor is licensed at the Florida Department of Business and Professional Regulation website at myfloridalicense.com.
This message is sponsored by the Florida Department of Business and Professional Regulation, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
When a storm is brewing, you need reliable information at your fingertips. Tune in to News Radio 92.3 for comprehensive hurricane coverage you can count on. Our team of anchors and reporters are in studio and at the County Emergency Operations Centers, bringing you live updates, safety tips, and emergency resources. From storm tracking to storm information, we've got you covered. Stay informed, stay safe. When the winds pick up, we're right there with you. News Radio 92.3, your trusted source during hurricane season.
Fall is a great time of the year for gardening. Whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs, cool weather color, and of course, winter vegetables. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got gardening questions, we've got the answers on News Radio Garden Line. Every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Sponsored by Pensacola Hardware and Blue Sky Landscaping.
Want to win tickets to Florida State home games? Download our News Radio Pensacola app, then tap that app.
Tap that app
to enter Monday through Friday on News Radio 92.3.
What's wrong?
Could be nothing. Could be the stench of unfathomable evil.
Good morning, 621 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News, certified vampire-free since 2014. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning. National Guard troops could be sent to Chicago or possibly New Orleans as part of an ongoing federal crackdown on crime and illegal immigration. That's the latest from President Trump, who said yesterday he's open to the idea of deploying service members to New Orleans, telling reporters it would take 2 weeks to clean up the area. And he said it would be easier than D.C.
I think you're mispronouncing the name of that city.
Really?
New Orleans.
That's accurate. That is accurate. Noted. Let's see. President Trump, another story here, hosting over 20 high-profile tech CEOs today for the first event in the newly renovated Rose Garden. Meta founder Mark Zuckerberg.
That's what I always wish I could do, is give him the Zuckerberg. Go on.
Again, this would be a great job for me if only I could talk. Apple CEO Tim Cook, Microsoft founder Bill Gates, and OpenAI founder Sam Altman are all on the list for that. The event comes as many tech industry leaders have looked to build a stronger relationship with the president.
You know, just maintaining international relations.
And you mentioned this last hour, Florida ending vaccine mandates for children. Right now, the state requires all kids to get vaccinated before they can enroll in school, a policy that Dr. Joseph Latipo feels is akin to tyranny and oppression.
We want to move toward a perfect world, a better world. You can't do it by enslaving people in terrible philosophies and taking away people's freedoms.
And he wants to eliminate mandates for all vaccines. He says what you put into your body should be between you and your God.
Okay. All right. David, thanks so much for the update. sorry for all my weird, obscure movie references, including Lost Boys. And I don't even know what the most recent one was we're talking about. But okay. So Joe Latipo yesterday goes on this, you know, tirade about vaccines and how, as you heard the clip that David played, you know, compares them to slavery and tyranny and, what?
Who am I as a government or anyone else, or who am I as a man standing here now to tell you what you should put in your body? Who am I to tell you what your child should put in your body? I don't have that right.
You're the Surgeon General. That's literally your job, is to figure out what things are safe and unsafe for us to put in our bodies. I don't know what you're... did you forget that you got hired for this? Who am I? No, I know what he's trying to say is nobody has this right. Well, sir, this is literally your job. And it's one thing, I know somebody's like, well, why do they need to have a, you know, Hep B vaccine? Are the kids doing intravenous drugs these days? No, okay. I'm perfectly willing to have an evaluation. Let's look and see which vaccines need to be mandatory, which vaccines should be optional. And maybe, I mean, I can't really see a way this would happen, but maybe we come away from it saying, you know, measles, mumps, rubella, polio. Doesn't really work. I mean, you know, if you're going to do an evaluation, you always got to be open to the possibilities. But it's one thing to say we ought to evaluate them and see if there are any vaccines that either aren't justified or maybe shouldn't be mandatory. Okay, no problem. But for what, political points? To just compare it to slavery? And I like Joe Latipo, I do. But all vaccines, except for the ones who are, you know, the only ones that are going to stay are the ones that are mandated by statute, and they're going to fix that real soon. Good Lord. I really appreciate Don Gates. Channel 3 reached out to him yesterday, and, you know, he had a couple of good comments on this.
Not for politicians to pass bills about. Instead, it's for scientists to give us legitimate scientific analysis about.
Right. It's not for politicians to decide, although there is a place for the politician to decide, because the politician is sometimes the last guard against runaway science, or science that's just not a public policy expert. And they're different. You know, public health and public policy are not the same thing, and they're counterbalancing interests. We talked about this all the way back since COVID. But, I appreciate Don Gates' comments here.
I'm not for just rolling back vaccines because it's politically popular in some places to do it.
Right.
Any more than I am for keeping vaccines just because we always did it. I think a legitimate scientific analysis is what's called for, and that's what I support.
Yes. Yeah, and that's fine. But this is not what they're saying. They're not saying, let's investigate. They're saying, here you go, take them away. Oh my God. There are lots of concerns here. It's a fair question about what's an appropriate imposition upon people or children. All of that. Fair questions. That's why you have a discussion about those questions. You don't have an announced sudden radical departure from decades of public health policy just because you have new people at the top in Florida. Anyway, we got PJ's got traffic on the fives.
Still working that vehicle crash, Navarre Parkway at Rosewood. Florida Highway Patrol saying the roadway is clear. Also, a traffic light out at Pine Forest and Mobile Highway. Remember, that's a four-way stop until they fix it. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. 437-1620. Always feel free to disagree with me or to agree with me. You know, either way, we take all texts. And I'd read most of them on the air. What else? Hey, if you want to buy a gun next week, it'll be cheaper. No tax on guns and ammunition. You know me, I'm generally opposed to, well, if you're new to the show, you haven't heard, I'm sorry. But, you know, I'm opposed to these things because I just don't think you should be, if it's justified to tax a thing, tax a thing. If it's not justified to tax a thing, don't tax a thing. But don't tell me that between the dates of September 7th and the 15th or whatever it is, you know, don't tell me these are the times when just for this week, we're going to let you buy guns and ammunition tax-free. I mean, it's just silly. It's the same view I have of the hurricane supplies, same view I have of the back to school, you know, supplies, all of this stuff. Tax a thing, don't tax a thing, but don't make taxes, you know, date range dependent. That just doesn't make any sense to me. What else do we have going on? Oh, this very interesting health news. This is the kind of health news that, you know, we typically, at least I do, maybe you're different, judge health news based on whether it fits with what we already know. And we know that a lot of times, you know, things can change over time. And so you kind of become a little bit numb to the latest pronouncements of health science. It's sort of normal because it feels like, you know, caffeine is dangerous. Caffeine is good. You know, a little bit of alcohol is terrible. A little bit of alcohol is fantastic. It's red wine. It's beer. You know, all that kind of stuff. Okay. Well, this is one that I think is so plausible that it'd be hard for me to imagine anybody would really be skeptical about it. The medical community course for years says that being active makes you happier and healthier, whether it's, you know, exercise, running, stretching, walking, just be physical, moving about, important for the human being. New research says that even daily tasks like walking regularly and doing chores could help keep you and your brain young. And basically what they did is they took a bunch of these people and they checked in with them 6 times a day, every 3.5 hours or so. I know that doesn't add up, but, you know, there's sleep time, right? And they checked in with them and they answered a few questions based on the phone survey that they were given. And it was just questions like, recently, have you been physically active? You know, were you exercising? Was it light, moderate, or vigorous? What were you doing the last 3.5 hours? And then they do a brain test. And they were looking to see if there was any correlation between their performance on the brain test, memory, mental agility, you know, general brain cognitive function type stuff. And what they discovered is that when people have been exercising, at least temporarily, they produce a significant improvement in their mental acuity. Something like a couple of years worth of reduction in their age. Now, is it enduring? Uncertain. But do you get a barely temporary but nevertheless significant bump in cognitive function by routine exercise? And the answer is yes. And I think that fits pretty well with things that we all know. Of course, you may have to take a nap to let the effects wear off.
Gianna Gelosi. President Trump is going to speak with Ukraine's Volodymyr Zelensky as they work towards a deal to end the Russia-Ukraine war.
Putin claims he's ready to meet with Ukraine's president, saying, quote, if Zelensky is ready for a meeting, let him come to Moscow.
And that's Fox's Lucas Tomlinson. HHS Secretary RFK Jr. going to testify on Capitol Hill today as lawmakers question his vaccine policy and CDC shakeups. Meanwhile, Florida is becoming the first state to do away with vaccine mandates for school children.
What you put into your body is because of your relationship with your body and your God. I don't have that right. Government does not have that right.
That is Florida Surgeon General Dr. Joseph Lapato. And there was no winner in last night's Powerball drawing. Jackpot now $1.7 billion. Next drawing Saturday. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 72 degrees now. Clear skies, looking like an absolutely gorgeous morning. We'll get to our forecast with Brooke Richardson here in just a few minutes. But first, our headlines today. Governor Ron DeSantis and Surgeon General Joseph Latipo announcing plans to remove vaccine mandates from Florida schools. The governor says some of those mandates were created by the Florida Department of Health. Others are state law.
Anything beyond statute, Joe has the ability to bring back. So that's what he is going to do. The rest would require changes from the legislature.
And the governor also announcing plans to create a state MAHA commission to implement recommendations from U.S. Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. House Democrats are accusing the governor of trading children's health for media headlines. Well, Pensacola is set to install 18 license plate reading flock cameras across the city. The cameras have been installed previously in communities nationwide and provide authorities with 24-hour surveillance of every vehicle that passes, not just license plates, but identifying features. They have drawn some criticism and accusations of being warrantless searches. Mayor D.C. Reeves says other important crime-fighting tools have been controversial in the past as well.
I think if you look at the political leanings, if you go to the Chicago area, I believe they banned ShotSpotter because they thought it was racially divisive, yeah. Which is kind of surprising when you think about what color skin does it matter that you have if you're shooting a gun illegally. It really shouldn't make any difference at all.
Mayor Reeves says his focus is on public safety and these cameras will help the city fight crime and apprehend criminals. Well, residents in Florida's Big Bend area can breathe a little bit easier today.
There's a lot of happy people around the Big Bend area of Florida today. Franklin County residents are welcoming a new state law that prohibits oil drilling or production within 10 miles of the Apalachicola River Basin. Supporters cite concerns about repeating the environmental damage caused by the 2010 BP oil spill. Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
Thank you very much, Chris. Senator Rick Scott wants more oversight over how California spends money it gets to prevent wildfires. Scott sending a letter yesterday to Interior Secretary Doug Burgum. Scott sent that letter after a recent visit to California where he met with former TV star Spencer Pratt, who lost his home in the Palisades fire back in January. He's accusing the state and the city of Los Angeles of mismanaging that money. Senator Scott writes that it appears to him California's trouble with wildfire mitigation isn't due to a lack of funding, but foot dragging and red tape. And Pensacola police say they've made an arrest for a shooting on West Gadsden Street last Sunday. 30-year-old Robert Brewster was identified as the shooting suspect. He's charged with attempted murder, possession of a firearm by a felon, and criminal mischief. One person was hurt in that shooting. Their injuries were described as being not life-threatening. 6:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Traffic on the Fives with PJ.
Traffic's brought to you by Discover. Do you know what's accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide? If you guessed Discover, you guessed correctly. Traffic light is out at Pine Forest and Mobile Highway. That is a four-way stop until further notice. If you headed to the base this morning in Pensacola, traffic is backed up to about Interbay Avenue. I'm PJ with your traffic on the Fives.
Thank you very much. Now our Channel 3 forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We do have a beautiful day in store for you today, high near 88 degrees. Just a small 10% chance of a stray sprinkle overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 72. Going into Friday, beautiful weather continues, high near 90 degrees, 10% chance of rain. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 73. Keeping this nice weather into Saturday, mostly sunny with a 10% chance of rain and a high near 90 degrees. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. We've got 72 and clear skies. Our next news at 7 o'clock and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, and dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Treasury yields were little changed this morning after a retreat in the previous session as investors anticipate further jobs data tomorrow. The 30-year yield Treasury bond held steady at 4.885%, while the benchmark 10-year Treasury was down less than one basis point at 4.2%. Oil prices are sharply lower as OPEC Plus weighs another output hike. West Texas Intermediate currently sitting at $63.05 per barrel. Brent currently sitting at $66.69 per barrel. British luxury fashion house Burberry is set to rejoin the UK's FTSE 100 later this month, 1 year after being relegated from the blue chip benchmark. The change will be implemented at the close of business on September 19th and take effect from the start of trading on September 22nd. Futures are slightly higher once again ahead of tomorrow's jobs data. Wednesday, the Dow Industrials lost 24. That's Your Money Now.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
Hey, Dan, how you doing? Haven't seen you around the gym for a while.
Yeah, I've really fallen off. Since I turned 40, I just don't get the results I used to get.
Could be lower testosterone.
Lower T?
Yeah, I went through it a while back. Once you hit 40, your body has less free testosterone. I got Nugenix Total T, and it's made a huge difference for me.
I've seen that ad on TV. Is it for real?
Oh, yeah. The key ingredient is something called Tesnor, which helps boost free and total testosterone levels to help you trim up and stay lean.
And it's made a difference for you?
Man, I feel like I'm in my 20s again. At work, in the gym, and in the bedroom.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try it for themselves?
Yeah, you just need to send them a text.
Text ALL to 321-321 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T, the number one selling testosterone booster at GNC. Plus, text now and we'll include a bottle of Nugenix Thermo, our most powerful fat incinerator ever, to help you get back into shape fast, absolutely free. Text ALL to 321-321. That's ALL to 321-321.
People's Foundation of Northwest Florida is dedicated to enhancing the well-being and quality of life for homeless veterans and individuals in hospice care. Join them for Rock for Vets, September 13th at Community Maritime Park. This fundraiser will support local homeless vets, giving them the dignity and care they have earned. Starting with a 5K run, walk through downtown Pensacola, followed by entertainment, local vendors, face painting, and bouncy house for the kids. Learn more about Rock for Vets and the People's Foundation by visiting choosepeople.com.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
News Radio 92.3 is proud to be a partner in the success of a lot of local businesses. We want your business to be part of this success story in 2025 with our unique platform to showcase your powerful message. Every day, News Radio's Pensacola Expert Panel provides an opportunity unlike any other. Hi, I'm Meg, host of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Let us help you share your message. Contact us to get you and your business part of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Call 850-262-6000.
Want to score tickets to see Florida State take on East Texas A&M on Saturday, September 6th? Tap the app with News Radio 92.3. Just download our News Radio Pensacola app and Monday through Friday from 5 a.m. to 5 p.m. Tap that app for your chance to win. Each day you enter brings you one step closer to being in the stands. The winner will be announced live at 5:15 p.m. on Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin. Download, then tap that app. Tap that app. The News Radio Pensacola app. And get ready for game day with News Radio 92.3.
All I ask is, it have asked, is take the vote. I mean, just take the vote. If it loses 3-2 or it loses 4-1, I maintain. I respect that. I have to respect that. It's their government. It's what they see as, if they don't see Baptist as a priority project for the for the county, you know, I would disagree with that personally, but that isn't my decision to make. That's, you know, is their decision to make to support it in the beginning, and it's their decision to make to decide to not support it, if that's what where it goes.
As Mayor D.C. Reeves yesterday at his press conference, again asking that the county commission would take up the question of the vote on the funding for the Baptist demolition project. It's not on the agenda. It hasn't been on the agenda. He says he's been talking with Lumen May, and we might get it as an add-on this morning, or I guess add-on today for the agenda tonight for the regular meeting. Joining us now, as he always does on meeting day, Wes Moreno, the Escambia County Administrator. Wes, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. It's great to be here this morning.
Great to have you. Is the Baptist item going to be added? Do you know? I mean, I know you don't make the agenda. You know, I mean, you probably add items. You can talk to the chairman.
I control the agenda somewhat, but as to whether this gets added this morning, I really couldn't tell you. I've had some conversations last night, and I'll have some more this morning. And we'll see where it lands at. You know, there's been several iterations of this, and just quite honestly, we certainly wasn't involved in the front end and the scope of work and some other sharing of information. We've just been asked to give money. So we'll see where it lands at, and we'll go from there.
OLF-8, I haven't heard much about this in a while. In fact, somebody asked me yesterday, and, you know, I said, I literally don't know where we're at. Where are we at?
So the developer has the keys to the gate. They've been going out doing some due diligence. And you know, some layout, some engineering type work, some geotechnical type work, survey type work. So they are working it, and I think we have some meetings next week to kind of meet with them and get a status update from them. But they have got the keys from us, and they have been going out there doing their due diligence. So it is quietly moving along.
Okay, well, that's good. I mean, you know, progress is even if it's not out in front of everybody. That's why I wanted to bring it up, because I didn't know the answer, and I was kind of curious about it. This is a personal issue for me of a sort. It's a passionate issue for me, but, as you know, cause I've talked about it, and I've talked about it a lot on the show. The retention pond on Sarah, that's just, you know, north of Hancock there, big part of the Monarch Place, improving the drainage there. And I think it's a good project to have a retention pond. The only problem I have is we built another retention pond that used to be a park, and I'm fine with that. It wasn't used all the time. Trees make way for holes in the ground. That's fine. That's fine. But we put the chain link fence up, and it's just so ugly. I have been to Baldwin County. You know, you've heard me talk about this before. I've been to Baldwin County. They managed to do it in a way that they're pretty. They're amenities. They're nice. They do ponds. They do fountains. They do all kinds of stuff. What can I do besides beg, please, let's not put chain link fences around retention ponds anymore?
Well, we have made some efforts, and we've made some progress in doing that.
Oh.
Lumen May is a big proponent of that. You know, making them more walking tracks around them, maybe a little sitting area, park area, or something of that nature. So we have started doing that somewhat. A lot of what determines whether we put a fence around a pond is the slopes of the pond. You know,
sure.
What we call 4-1. If it's 4-1 or less, then it doesn't require a fence. But if it's greater than 4-1, then it's going to require a fence around it just for safety purposes.
And
but that's the big driving factor.
And, yeah, I mean, and, like, the example I always think of is on Olive Road by the Dreamland Skate. Like, that is one of the coolest park features in the county, frankly. And it's a functional, you know, it's a water pond. Now, it's a wet pond and it's a low slope, but the point is we designed that from the beginning with that in mind, right? And I just think we can do that more often.
Did.
So, okay.
And it was geotechnical work for us, and we can, you know, we certainly move in that direction where we can.
It was just so disheartening when I drove by it, when I saw the fence up. It was so ugly. It's so ugly. On the good news side, actually, hang on for just a second. We'll be back with Wes Moreno in just a second. I got a really, this is a great news story. PJ's got traffic on the fives.
There is debris in the roadway, I-10 westbound, right at mile marker 5, right near Cantonment. Use caution in that area. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks, PJ. Back to Wes Moreno, Escambia County Administrator. You guys are doing a proclamation, or the board is doing a proclamation this morning in celebration of the CORE program, which is the opioid remediation program, where we basically get people who do overdoses, we offer them a chance to take a drug that makes them not want it and not enjoy it. And, oh my God, the success rate is ridiculous, right?
It is fantastic. It really is. And I'll be honest with you, I'm surprised with the success rate. But it's because of a lot of effort and a lot of work that goes into that and a lot of good partnerships. You know, Joey there and EMS, you know, he kind of takes the lead and they make the initial contact and they reach out and they get these folks into the program and meet with them. And when they get to a certain point, they transfer them off to community health, and then community health picks them up and then case manages the rest of the way. And it has just been a great partnership and a great program, but the biggest benefit, of course, is for the lives that are changed. And then, of course, for our community. You know, anytime we can make that kind of difference in our community, that is just fantastic. And families that maybe they're getting help they didn't know that was there.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is just case management. Wanting to reach out, touch these folks. Hey, you didn't call in yesterday. Where you okay? Where you at? What you doing? And it's a lot of work, but it's also a lot of lives change and a lot of benefit to the community. So I'm extremely proud of that program. And we're funding that program through our opioid abatement recovery fund.
Nice.
And so it's not really general fund dollars that are funding that program. Thus, this is
lawsuit settlement.
The lawsuit settlement money that we're getting from the pharmaceutical companies. So it's been a win-win-win all the way around.
It's not every day that, you know, government employees get to look at something and really, really feel proud of it. This is one of those, my goodness. And I want to put the numbers on this because I think even I didn't know it was this successful. In 2022, before we started this, the overdose death rate in Escambia County was 63 people per 100,000 residents. That's about 200 people a year, because we're about 350,000 or so. That was one of the worst in the state. It might have been the worst in the state, but it was one of the worst in the state out of 67 counties. It went from that to, it dropped down to last year, it's now 21 per 100,000. The state average is 31. The national average is 31. We went from 63,
right.
We went from about 200 a year to, by my math, you tell me if I'm wrong, by my math, and I hate to say only, but it's only 60 to 70 people dying per year now. That's 130, 140 people's lives saved every year because of this program. I'm not doing the math wrong, am I?
Nope, you're doing exactly right. It's 100. That's the number of lives saved. But you know, you got to look behind those lives that are saved and the difference it makes to the families and to the children of some of these folks, and to the spouses of some of these folks, and the parents of some of these folks. I mean, it's just such an enormous impact in the community, and it's just been a, I'll tell you, it's been one of the best programs that we've initiated. That program and I would say the Real Change Project program.
Oh, helping homeless people get home. Yeah.
For us.
Well, and yep. You know, it's I know it's the lives saved and it's the people, but it's also, I mean, the reason we started this originally was to help reduce some of the load on EMS, because you have these,
absolutely,
you know, multiple overdose repeat users. That stresses the system. And, you know, that's working too. I mean, that's a, you know, 130, 140 people a year that aren't, I mean, just, it's all good. The one thing I didn't know about this, and you may not know either, but how long, my wife asked me last night when I was telling her the story, and I didn't know the answer. How long do people stay on the drug? Is that a lifetime they're on the drug? Is that 5 years? Do you even know?
Honestly, Andrew, I do not know. I'm
okay.
Not sure.
Okay, I wasn't sure either.
A lot of that gets handled in the transfer with out of our case management into community health case management. And I guess each person is assessed maybe on their own, but I'm not really sure.
Yeah, I that's kind of what I thought, but I didn't know, so I was going to ask. Legislative priorities. Can I assume that property tax is going to be one of the big legislative priorities this year, and figuring out if we're not going to have it, what are we going to have?
Well, it's not on our list, but it's something that we're certainly talking about. You know, the legislature's picking it back up. I know the governor's picking it back up. And so we are having a lot of discussions internally as to how do we plan moving forward? You know, what's the mechanism going to be? What's the transition going to be if it takes place? So it'll be a huge impact to local counties and cities and so forth. Yeah. But, you know, we're constantly got our ear to the ground, and we're looking, talking, and planning.
What is on the list?
So, South Navy Boulevard entrance into the base.
Okay, makes sense.
The redesign, redevelopment, and security. One of the biggest things is security. You know, we turn a lot of cars around at that gate. I mean, hundreds a day, it seems like, is what I'm told.
Yeah.
So the base security is a big deal. And then another thing that's not really a monetary thing but a process thing is the removal of derelict vessels.
Yeah.
You know, right now the process is kind of elongated, and so we're going to ask that that process can be shortened somewhat and expedited, that would let us move forward a little bit quicker in removing some of these derelict vessels.
I think you got two on the agenda, right? Aren't there two on the agenda to be removed, I think?
Yeah. Yep, there are. Absolutely. And when we get funding from SDP, or FWC, but it's just a process that it takes to get there, to be able to get these vessels out. And it's a huge problem. You would be surprised how many folks, the more these boats up, remove all the identification, and they just sit there. And I guess it's cheaper than trying to dispose of them or whatever, but they become a nuisance and a hazard in the waterways. And so we want to expedite that a little bit so we can get it out of there.
That makes sense.
Carpenter Creek is there on the list, and that's probably our top three, maybe.
Okay.
And we make, you know,
is that the Headwater project, the park over on the north side of I-10?
Yep.
Is that kind of all that? Okay, which is, I'm a big supporter. I love that project. I did want to ask you, I know you've got the toll, Bob Sykes toll redesign on there. I didn't see any pictures of the intended new version. I know it's not going to be the aesthetic redesign that Ashley Hoffberger had asked for before, and it's kind of been abandoned. The cost is much lower now, but do we even know what's going to go in instead, what it's going to look like? Is that because you and I had kind of talked about alternatives that might involve not even having the overhanging steel structure, lots of possibilities that were in flux. Do we have any better idea what it's going to look like now?
We should have our 100% plans in probably in about 3 weeks.
Okay.
So we'll have a great idea of what it's going to look like. And, you know, we're looking at the just the gantry system, not a big overhanging architectural piece, nothing like that, of something that's efficient with some great landscaping around it, aesthetically pleasing sidewalks and things around it coming into it. The biggest improvement I know will be the removal of the toll booth. I mean, just getting that eyesore out of there. And then and we're looking at a couple alternatives, none of them overly expensive or overly eccentric or anything, but you know, you got the water tanks there and the color scheme on the water tanks. So we're looking at maybe if we can match the infrastructure for the gantry to just be coated with somewhat of a similar color.
Just something other than that brushed steel kind of look?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And so we're looking at that. We'll see how it comes out. But it's definitely a project that's moving forward at a pretty fast rate. Pretty fast pace, if you will.
Well, if we can have anything other than standard F dot rust brown number 6,
I don't disagree there.
I'll take it. Hey, last thing, and I've only got about a minute, but I did want to give you a chance. Obviously, you and I had talked previously about the intermittent FMLA, and this is probably too complex of a topic, but at ECAT, among the regular ECAT drivers, not the new flex drivers, Mike Lowry got up and basically said y'all were totally lying about this, that your numbers are completely not what their numbers are. Have we had any clarity on this? I mean, is there anything you can help me in understanding this? Because, you know, I don't want to deny people the opportunity to deal with their stuff, but I also, you know, I want to feel like I have an accurate perception.
I'll just say this. Intermittent FLA it's a thing that really I don't care for it. It creates more, to me, it creates problems. And I'm not saying there's not some legitimate use of intermittent FMLA, but I can tell you that's not been my experience throughout the years of managing departments and employees and such. But, you know, I don't I get my numbers from HR. I don't get them from going around and asking people questions. So
I gotcha.
We'll just leave it there.
So we're moving forward. So the statement that it is widespread and pervasive and is definitely related to some of your staffing issues, you'd still basically, that's still what you believe.
Intermittent FMLA is just tough to manage. It don't matter if it's ECAT or Public Works or facilities or what department it is. The intermittent FMLA is just tough to manage. It really is.
And I know you guys are going to talk about Sorrento and the safety audit that you're requesting. And, you know, it's a big agenda, including the cow this morning, the Committee of the Whole with the Animal Welfare Center discussion there. So there's a lot of stuff that's going to happen today. Wes Moreno, he's the Escambia County Administrator. Wes, I really appreciate you taking some time before the meeting to help our audience understand what their government's doing on their behalf. And we'll look forward to a good meeting today and talk to you next time.
All right. Thank you, Andrew.
You bet. PJ's got traffic on the fives.
If you are headed to the base this morning in Pensacola, traffic is now backed up to about Central Avenue. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Looking for a stylish way to promote your brand or celebrate a special occasion? Prim and Proper in Gulf Breeze now offers custom hats, a new addition to their lineup of custom and promotional items.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us tomorrow at 9:30 for the Pensacola Expert Panel with me, Eldon Scott, your host, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing barbecue prizes, and hear how Sonny's Barbecue is helping to build a strong Pensacola. We're spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Make sure to tell Sonny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
All of your local news and talk from dependable host Andrew McKay on your morning drive with Pensacola Morning News 5 to 9 on News Radio 92.3.
Well, if it was me, I wouldn't need protection.
How do you figure?
Ralph Furley, black belt.
Man. How long has it been since you watched an episode of Three's Company?
It's been a while.
A long time. All right, David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Good morning, Andrew. Here we go. President Trump hosting 20 high-profile tech CEOs Thursday for the first event in the newly renovated Rose Garden. Meta founder Mark Zuckerberg. Not Zuckerberg this time.
He's the source of all that chirping in the background of the Rose Garden. Sorry, go ahead.
Apple CEO Tim Cook, Microsoft founder Bill Gates, and OpenIA founder Sam Altman are all on the list for that. National Guard troops could be sent to Chicago or New Orleans as part of an ongoing federal crackdown on crime and illegal immigration. That's the latest word from President Trump. He said he's open to the idea of deploying the Guard to New Orleans, telling reporters that it would be easier to clean up than Washington, D.C.
I don't think he would, but you know how Trump is big for promoting things, promotions and brand advertising? He should make a wheel of crime, and it's got like all the cities he's thinking about deploying the National Guard to.
Like
and
the
he
sheriff's
should
office,
spin it
the wheel.
Like the Wheel of Fugitives. Spin it in the Oval Office. We're going to New Orleans!
You're listening to